The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hey there, welcome to The Undercurrent. I'm your host, Tara Sloan, and that's all she wrote. Well, for this season anyway, this is episode number 22 of the show. We're going to take a hiatus for the summer months when people are at the beach and not really thinking about frozen water. And then we will pick things up for season two of the show. So before we get into it, I just want to say this has been a truly wonderful life transition for me. First of all, I am sitting facing a window that looks out at some pretty spectacular scenery. So life is good here in California. But mostly, I just want to say that I am so appreciative to be part of the Sharks organization, to have been welcomed with such open arms by the team and by the fans. So thank you, everybody, for listening. It's just been a lot of fun, and I hope this is the first of many seasons to come with the team. So without further ado, let me introduce you to my guest. I'm sure you've heard his name. This defenseman was a captain at Harvard, so I think that says a lot about him. Henry Thrun spent the last part of the season with the San Jose Sharks. He's a smart player on the ice, and he is a smart cookie off the ice. The guy is a double major from Harvard, and the reason, you'll hear this, the reason he became a double major is because he was done his schooling so early that he wanted to just take more on. So he is a really intelligent, really personable guy, really looking forward to having him, you know, with the team. He's going to be a lot of fun for the fans to get to know. And of course, he's a fantastic all-round player to the point where he was on the men's U.S. men's national team at the World Championships under David Quinn this last month. So he's a great guy. I had a lot of fun. And so it's a great way to finish the season here on The Undercurrent. Here is Henry Thrun. Henry, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. And I guess I'll ask you where I'm talking to you from.
I'm calling in from Marion, Massachusetts. So I'm back home. I'm back home for a couple of weeks here.
Okay. So what do you do when you get back home? You've had an extremely busy season, busier than most, as busy as it could possibly be. So what are kind of the rituals? What are the first things you do when you get home?
Good question. I mean, other than training and skating, I usually get a couple home cooked meals. My mom's a pretty good cook, so that's one of the first go-tos for me. I spend a lot of time golfing, a lot of time playing tennis. So that's usually how I'm spending most of my afternoons once the training's over.
Have you taken a break physically? Like, do you just lay off for just a little bit and give yourself a breather and then jump back in?
Yeah, I did 2 weeks off. So we got the world's tournament ended as of Sunday, 2 weeks ago. So I got 2 weeks off of just no hockey, no gym, get away for a little bit. I think it's obviously good, just both physically and mentally, kind of get away. So I was able to take some time there. And then I started training back in the gym on Monday. So this is my first week back at it.
Okay, so there's so much to get to, literally, like I said, just in this last season alone. So you mentioned the Worlds. So you're really just back from the World Championships in Finland and Latvia. How was that experience? You're obviously not a newcomer to international competition, but this is a big deal.
Yeah, it was, it was obviously the place we had finished in was really unfortunate. It was obviously, I think we had a good enough team for the gold medal. And at least we were hoping to get some sort of medal. So obviously the place was what it was. But other than that, I mean, it was incredible. It was, making that team was going into my college year this year was something that I knew I had a chance at. So for me, that was a goal at the start of the year, was to just let alone make the team. So when I got the call to have the opportunity, it was pretty much a no-brainer for me. I mean, going over there for a month was awesome. I mean, it's such a unique experience being able to play on an international stage. And I think, you know, being able to play against other countries is something that you look back on, and that's what it's all about. It's some of the coolest things you can do. So for me, I've been fortunate enough to play on the U18, the U20, and now the men's stage. So I think it's something that I value a lot. And I mean, the host city there in Tampa was pretty cool. And I mean, the whole event, seeing the international fans playing against those teams was pretty awesome.
I'm sure there's something very unique you could pick out from all of your life experience, but even specifically your experience at Harvard as a captain, your experience making your NHL debut, and now, you know, playing at this level internationally. What would you say you came away with from the Worlds specifically?
Yeah, I think the Worlds was obviously a little bit of a different style of play. Over there, I think the teams are a little bit more patient, a little bit more structured, controlled game. So I think for me, you know, when I was in San Jose in the spring, it was the game was a little bit quicker, a lot more read and react. So I think when we got to over in Europe, it was sort of just learning not to try to do too much, and just understanding what my game is and sort of letting the game come to me. Because I think when we got there, it was, you play some really good countries, and then you play some countries that aren't quite there yet in terms of international success. So just trying to learn to adapt to that, and recognizing sort of what I do best, and what I can bring to a pro level. That was probably the biggest thing that I learned sort of on the ice during that tournament.
But I remember, you know, when you were about to make your debut, all the reporters were asking Coach Quinn, you know, what's your advice for Henry? And he said, I just want him to play his game. So it's kind of the same thing, right? You're being encouraged with your level of experience and expertise to actually just settle in and play the game. Don't try to change anything.
Yeah. And I think during San Jose, I think I was doing a good job of that. Just because I was a little bit just in shell shock from being in the NHL. And I think I was like, I'm just going to do what I do. And I think just naturally got a little more comfortable when we got to Worlds, knowing that I had played 8 NHL games. And from there, just wanted to obviously try to, I'm always pushing myself to do more and be better. So I think just recognizing, you know, where the line is of too much versus sort of what I do best. So for me, that was kind of the biggest takeaway, is playing my game and sort of doing what I do doing what I had done to get me to that point, without sort of teetering over the line of being someone that I'm not.
Mm-hmm. You had an added layer there. 5 of the Sharks coaching staff were with you, including Coach Quinn, which is, I mean, that's great from the perspective of, okay, you're continuing to show them what you got, but does it add another kind of layer in your brain? Like, okay, I better show up, because, you know, it's kind of an audition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think at this point in your career, I think anytime you step on the ice is an audition, which is awesome. You know, I think it's something that, I love the competition, I love the pressure. It's something that I think is great. So for me, having those guys there was obviously, it was great sort of having that comfortability. And as well, knowing that I had another chance to play in front of the staff was obviously a great opportunity.
You and David Quinn go back quite a ways. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with him.
Yeah, Coach Quinn's awesome. He, you know, he's a guy that I think is one of the best head coaches, if not the best, that I've had. He's someone that I think he's a great communicator, and has a lot of great relationships with his players. You know, I think he's someone that both from a team and individual perspective, he can really relay the message that needs to get there. You know, I think at least for me, he's helped me out with a couple individual things in terms of just different stick detail and positioning. You know, starting by showing me some video and then walking through it on the ice, and then just kind of working on transferring that into a game. So I think he's been awesome in terms of just communicating what he expects from me, and sort of as we had said earlier, you know, letting me be myself while as well pushing me to make sure I'm being the best player that I can be. So he's been nothing but awesome.
But he would have loved to have you a lot earlier in your career, right? He wanted you in Boston, but he got you in San Jose.
He had recruited me to BU a little bit. And I think that at that time it was BU wasn't the right decision for me. So we joked that he's one for two in recruiting me.
Well, hopefully this is a long lasting relationship. I want to go way back to the beginning. I mean, we couldn't possibly cover your entire hockey journey because, I mean, already your hockey DB page is like as long as my arm. But I was curious to read that you actually started playing hockey just a little bit later than kids, I guess, these days who get on the ice at like 3. You didn't start playing hockey till 7.
Yeah. I mean, I started doing learn to skate probably at age 6. And then just started playing town hockey age 7. You know, I played a lot of baseball growing up, a lot of soccer, played a lot of lacrosse. And I think for me, hockey, my dad had played hockey growing up. And I have an older brother. And at that time, he wasn't playing hockey. And as any younger brother would do, I kind of just followed in his footsteps. But then one day I was like, you know, I just want to try hockey. And, went out there, did some learn to skate, and then just loved it. And ended up, I mean, even until high school, honestly, like my high school, my freshman, sophomore year, I played 3 sports. I played a sport each season. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until my junior year that I stopped playing other sports. So for me, hockey was, once I got to high school, it was definitely the sport that I wanted to focus in on the most. But I think it was great for me to be able to play a lot of other sports growing up and even through high school.
For sure. I have to think that, you know, being a well-rounded athlete just only serves to enhance your hockey game.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, I feel like kids are getting just so focused on hockey at an early age, which is fine. Like it's obviously, I think passion is the most important thing. And if you want to be a successful player, but I feel that at least from personal experience, I think, you know, just having hand and eye coordination from lacrosse or just, you know, soccer, keeping the endurance and just seeing different sports, different playing surfaces, just, I think it can only help. I mean, even during the summer, I spent a lot of time, playing tennis, just sort of working on lateral movement and just trying to just, you know, have some athletic movement sort of off the ice, just as I think it's super important to be a well-rounded athlete in order to be a good hockey player.
Agreed. So you said your dad played, your dad, David. What level did he play until?
He played junior, and then he, in college, he was a walk-on at St. Lawrence and just sort of played junior varsity while he was there.
I read that your mom played too. Is that true?
She played in high school. Yeah. It was more just like a fun activity for her, but she did play back in her day.
I mean, listen, I got to tell you, I don't know how old your parents are, but that's like when I was growing up, I grew up in a small town in Eastern Canada, but like girls didn't have hockey skates. So I always think that's really impressive.
Yeah, I think she started in high school and finished in high school. So I think it was like a quick stint for her. But she, as far as she's told me, she loved playing. So it's pretty funny.
I have to think it's in your genes somewhat. So I know you started as a forward, but how quickly did you move to defense?
Probably when I turned like 9 or 10, maybe.
So pretty early. Why did that happen? Why did you gravitate towards D?
I don't think. So when I played town at that point, it was awesome. Cause like, I'd play one game at forward, one game at D, and then every 5 games I'd get to play goalie.
Was that fun? Did you like that?
I loved playing goalie. Yeah. I loved playing goalie. I didn't care. I honestly still, for Harvard, on the power play, I played most of the year. This year I played forward. I think that's the way hockey should be played, just positionless hockey. So I think, for me, when I was growing up, I'm not quite sure why I started playing defense, honestly. I think it started when I started to play travel or club or AAA. Mm-hmm. And maybe they just needed to fill roster spots and you need to put a big kid at defense. I'm not really sure, honestly. But I started playing defense then, just play defense since.
Who were your favorite hockey players growing up? I mean, were the Bruins your team?
The Bruins was my team. My favorite players, I was always a really big Duncan Keith fan. I mean, when he was in his prime, winning all the Conn Smythes and all the Cups with Chicago, he was, I mean, he arguably was one of the best defensemen ever to play. So he was someone that I watched a lot. Just the way he controlled the game was pretty spectacular. So he was probably one of my favorite players. Obviously, I was a huge Bruins fan, so for me, all those guys were pretty cool to watch every night. I mean, even when we played Calgary this year in our second to last game, and for me, that playing Calgary was probably the coolest experience because we got to play Milan Lucic. And I think like it's pretty. Someone asked me that question when I got back to Harvard, like, oh, like who's the coolest guy you played against? Like, was it McDavid? Was it McKinnon? And I was like, honestly, it was Lucic because it was just like growing up at like McDavid and McKinnon are only a couple years older than me, so for me to see Lucic, playing in Boston and then lining up against him, I was like, oh, like that's pretty cool for me. So that was probably the coolest guy I got to play against.
That's neat. I know you also look up to Noah Hanifin. I don't know that he's like, again, you guys aren't as separated age-wise, but that
Yeah.
had to be cool for you too.
Yeah, he was someone that, he went to prep school, went to college in Boston. He did the NTDP. And obviously he's been a hell of an NHL player. So for me, he's someone that he's been on a path that I've been on so far and hope to continue to follow. So he's someone that he obviously is it's just a good guy to look up to,
Why do you wear number three, by the way?
Good question. So I've gone through a couple different jersey numbers. Growing up, I wore number 14, not sure why. And then when we were at the NTDP, your first year, you don't even really choose numbers. They kind of just give you like a range. And I ended up getting 33. And then second year, you get to choose. And Cam York and I both really wanted number two. So we flipped a coin for it and he got it. So he wore number two. And our coach was like, you should just wear number three. Like you wore 33, you might as well wear three now. So I wore three. And then when I got to college, I kind of hopped off the trend because one of my teammates, Jack Rathbone with the Vancouver Canucks, was wearing three. So I wore 77 my freshman year. And then I took a little hiatus during the COVID year. And then I was like, you know what? I should go back to three. So switch back to three. But not really sure why I chose it. Maybe from the NTDP days, probably.
Yeah. And so, but does that feel like your number now? I mean, now
Yeah.
given the choice, that's
I
you.
would say that's my number. Yeah. That's what I'd go with now.
Now you mentioned a lot of guys whose names are familiar and you've played with so many and then on that, 21 World Junior team. But there's one guy in particular I want to talk about, Sean Farrell, who
Yeah.
with whom you have shared so much of your hockey journey, which has to be really neat to see. So tell me about Sean when you started playing with him and how parallel you guys are.
Yeah, it's honestly scary. Like you'd think we might as well have grown up in each other's houses. I mean, we started so we both I grew up in Southwell, Massachusetts, and he grew up in Hopkinton, which is they're literally the shared border. The towns next to each other, and we started playing together once we had left town. So age 9, we played for a team called the Minmen Flames. Played from there until age 14 when we both went to St. Mark's together, which was the prep school we had played at.
How far is St. Mark's from where you lived?
It was in the town of
In the
South
town.
Coast where I grew up, and from Sean's house was probably 10 minutes.
Okay, perfect.
So it was really close to both of us. We both were day students there. And then we both made the NTDP and we moved out there. Got placed in the same billet house. So I shared a bathroom with him for 2 years and had our own floor to ourselves for 2 years. And then the 1 year we actually didn't play together in the past, I can't even like 15 years maybe, was I was a class above him in school. We were the same birth year, but I was class above him in school. So I matriculated into Harvard and he played another year in the USHL. And then we obviously both ended up at Harvard. So I've played with him for such a long time. And it's scary. I mean, even now we both ended up moving away from our original hometowns and we again live in the towns next to each other, just ironically. So he's someone I've known my entire life. He's a really close friend of mine. We do a lot together. We train together during the summer. We play golf together. So he's someone that it'll be really interesting not being on his team for the first time. He's a really good player. And I'm not even after playing it with him for so long, I'm still not sure if I know how to defend him. So it'll be interesting being not on his team for the first time.
Okay, well, he's a Montreal Canadiens prospect. And you guys made your NHL debuts on the same night?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the wildest thing to me.
I think he was the night before. It usually was the same night or the night before, I forget. But I remember watching his first game. And he literally, like, because we were in the West Coast, so I pulled up my laptop as I was literally putting on my suit and I had his game on. And it was so cool to watch him play. I was like, that's really cool. And I literally, same thing. There, Montreal would always play on the same night as us, ironically. So before all the Sharks games, I'd have his game on in my room just while I was getting ready for the game. So I saw him score his first goal also on TV, which was pretty cool. Man. So I watched a lot of his first games.
Well, you may not have to defend against them too much because you won't play them that often, but down the road. And of course, I want to get to the whole experience, your NHL debut, but let's just jump back to Harvard because you had an incredible career there. And then you finish out your career as a captain, which says a lot about you. What do you think your strongest leadership skills are? Why did you end up with that C?
Good question. I think for me, it just, you know, Coach Donato told me something really interesting. He's like, you know, guys nominate you to be a captain, not because they hoped you to turn into someone, but that for who you truthfully are, which I thought was really interesting. And it's, I think being a captain is really just about being yourself, because, you know, if you get to that point, obviously, you know, I think people see you as someone that could fit into that position. So for me, you know, being a captain was honestly probably one of, if not the biggest honors I've had in my life. I mean, it's something that it honestly was a major reason I wanted to go back to Harvard for my senior year. I think being a captain of a team, let alone a Harvard team, is something that puts you in a pretty unique club and sort of unique group of people. It's pretty cool. And it's something that I don't take lightly. And it's something that, you know, I wear it with pride, and I felt I learned a lot from it. It's something that, you know, I loved being a captain. I'd been an assistant captain on teams before, but that was the first time I've been a full captain. And I think it's something that it meant a lot to me. And I felt I learned a lot this year from it.
Do you have any leadership mentors? Like, who do you look for? Are you like, okay, I've read up on Mark Messier, he's my guy, or is there somebody?
I don't think of anyone's in particular. I mean, obviously you hear a lot of stories of guys in the NHL and just how they conduct themselves, and you try to just, I mean, replicate anything you can when you hear about those guys. So there's, I don't think there's anyone in particular that I sort of looked up to in those types of roles.
So I just want to get a timeline happening. So you finish up your season with Harvard, didn't go exactly as you planned, but all of a sudden you find yourself making your NHL debut with the Sharks. Mm. But in between the end of the Sharks season and your time, excuse me, in Tampere, you went back to Harvard?
Yes. Yep.
So, okay. What happened in there? Did you graduate?
So good question. So I literally, I've been like a nomad the past 2 months. Harvard season ended, flew out to San Jose 2 days later, which I didn't know it was going to happen that quick. Like I literally had no idea. Flew to San Jose, was there for 3 weeks, flew home to Harvard, was at school for 3 weeks, flew to Tampere, was in Tampere for a month, and then just came home. So while I was at school, I pretty much, at that point, I knew I was going to the World Championships. So while I was there, I wrapped up some schoolwork, and then basically was training for Worlds. I knew I was missing, I unfortunately had to miss Harvard graduation and sort of all the senior final things, just because I was already in Europe at that point. So the 3 weeks I had there, kind of just saying bye to people, moving out of my dorm room, wrapping up school. So those were my final weeks at school. So for me, I was just trying to get everything I could done during that time.
I recall that you had a double major. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, I was economics and a psychology double major.
What do you think, like, which direction would you go in? Say hockey wasn't part of your life. What would you be?
Good question. Take away hockey. Well, I think the way I usually answer this question is I think being a sports agent would be really cool. I think you know, the business aspect of the game. So we'll take away hockey and make the question a little more interesting. The business aspect of sport, I think, is really interesting. I think, you know, people that are owners of teams, people that are GMs of teams, I think that's a really unique position just in the world of business, because it's something that sort of combines entertainment and business. So for me, those positions are always really interesting. I think being a sports agent would be cool. You know, being an owner of a team, being a GM of a team, sort of roles like that, is something where you could combine business and sports, probably where I'd land.
Is there a way that you, you know, utilize your psychology studies in your everyday life?
Good question. So I'd finished, I was actually really far ahead in school, which is why I ended up doing a double major, because I had finished my econ major and then I was a psychology minor. So with all the extra time I had, I ended up turning the psychology minor into a major. And for me, the psych classes were really interesting, really interesting, because it was something that I didn't really have a background in, just because I feel like, I mean, you turn the TV, you talk to whoever, I feel like you learn about business and the economy and different things, but psych was something I knew nothing about. So learning about that was really unique and a little bit scary at times too, because you kind of find out like why you think the way you do and why you react certain ways. And then sometimes you can like get yourself in a cycle or a little bit of a hole and maybe overthink things. So it was cool to learn sort of why you act certain ways and respond to things in certain ways that you do. But it was definitely at times a lot to sort of know, like, that's how you function as a person.
Sometimes ignorance is bliss.
You
don't need to know why your brain's operating in a certain way. Sorry, I do need to stop you, because you said that you had extra time. So help me understand how somebody who's playing college hockey and is at Harvard has extra time and can like pick up more in their studies. Help me understand how.
Yeah, my sophomore and junior year, I took an extra class each semester. So typically you take four classes a semester, but I was taking five, and then I did summer school as well. So I had a lot of extra credits flying around, and just, I was pretty far ahead. So I elected to just end up doing a double major, just because I had enough time to do it.
Okay. Well, I wish I understood your psychology, because that's pretty wild. I mean, did you ever feel overwhelmed by that, or you're just, that's, you can operate at that, you know, pace?
It was a lot of commitment. I think it was something that I knew going into it, it was going to be a lot of work. I actually had enough credits to graduate after my junior year, just based on the way I'd done it. But I wanted to go back for another year just for hockey. And I think that it is a lot of time commitment, but you find ways to manage it. I feel like after my freshman year, that kind of nailed it on sort of how to balance hockey in school. So from there on out, it wasn't too bad.
Well, I am wildly impressed, because I can barely figure out my day-to-day life, and I'm not taking any classes or playing elite hockey. So I think that bodes really well for, you know, how your future is going to look. We have to talk about this then, the NHL debut that happened March 30th, I think was the date, against the now Stanley Cup champions, the Vegas Golden Knights. So, I mean, gosh, how are you feeling heading into that game?
Good question. I mean, so I was really lucky, because I was really unlucky, and then I was really lucky. So I flew to, we lost on a Friday, I think, for Harvard, flew to San Jose on a Sunday, and I was supposed to play on that Tuesday against Winnipeg. But my flight got so delayed. It was actually the craziest flying experience I've ever had. And ironically, it was the worst time I could have had a bad flying experience. We were about to take off from Boston, and like they had to switch the plane, and then we had to stop in Kansas City for some reason, because they had to refuel, and then we couldn't actually refuel in Kansas City, so I spent the night there, and then ended up getting to San Jose after many hours, which was crazy. And I ended up landing there, and I had to miss practice on Monday. So the plan was for me to practice Monday, play Tuesday, but I ended up missing practice. So like, hey, we don't want to play you if you weren't able to get a skate in for your first game. So I didn't play on Tuesday, but I ended up taking warmups, which helped actually so much, because when I got to Thursday, I'd already came to the rink early, you know, got in the pregame stuff, you know, gone out on the ice for warmups, and you sort of knew the routine. So all that was already like checked off the box and care of. So then it was pretty much just the game, which it took out so many different variables. So it was nice sort of having that. But I mean, the game was, it was, I mean, it was awesome. It was so fun. It was, when people asked me about it, I honestly, like, I was honestly having so much fun that I wasn't thinking about nerves or who I was playing against or anything. It was just such a unique experience. It's something that, like, no one can ever take that away from you. Playing the NHL, it's a unique club to be in. And for me to be able to accomplish that was something that, it was, when we played in Vegas and even all the games, it was something that I was enjoying it so much that I was just going out there and having fun, honestly, which I think it worked well for me. But it was such a cool experience for me.
You got your first NHL point on your second shift. Did that, like, that alleviates, that's got to alleviate something though, right? You want to get that, right?
Yes. So it was funny, like the play had happened, and then it didn't really like register. We came back to the bench and I was like, oh wait, I was like, I just had an assist there. I was like, I didn't even like think of it. I was just kind of like playing the game. I was like, oh nice, we scored. Like, I think at that point it was either, I think we ended up 1-0. It was either 1-1 or I think we ended up 1-0. I was like, oh nice, like we scored. And then I was like, oh wait, I just had a point. Like, that's pretty cool. And then like they announced my name and I was like, oh wait, that's kind of cool to see myself on the Jumbotron. I didn't even like think about when it happened.
You know, I always, in these moments, whether it be the NHL draft or players' first games, I always think of the families, right? I always think of the parents and the hours that they put in driving their kid. And it's so much, you know, it's so emotional for them. And your parents got to witness this too. How special is that?
Yeah, it meant so much to me. I mean, it's, as you had mentioned, it's something that, you know, no one gets to that point alone. There's so much sacrifice that's put in by your family and your parents. So to be able to have my mom and dad and brother out there, just, it meant so much to me. My mom, there's a pretty funny clip on social media of her crying during the game, during warmups.
I think we showed it a lot of times.
Yeah, it's funny because she claims she wasn't crying. Actually, she's like, I actually just like started to tear up and wipe my eye, and they happened to get me at a moment. It makes it look like I was crying a lot, but she said she actually was just tearing up, which might sort of ruin the whole mojo around that video. So I don't know if social will be too happy about that, but it meant so much. I mean, it was something that, as I had said, that I wouldn't even be remotely close without my parents and my brother. So to have them there meant so much, and to see them on the glass while I was out there for warm-ups, just again, it made me laugh, it made it fun, it made it light. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, the whole thing was really heartwarming and really, really fun to watch from the outside looking in. So now here you are in your summer, getting back to your training. I mean, what are you most looking forward to coming up next season?
Good question. I think it's going to be a big adjustment in first year pro. Obviously, college season's a lot shorter. You don't play nearly as many games, so being a pro is going to be, I think, the major change. You know, it's, you're living on your own, you have to take care of yourself. And at the end of the day, it's a job and it's a competition every day. So it's something that I'm looking forward to. I'll be out in San Jose for development camp in July, and then back for training camp in September. So it's something, honestly, you know, I take it day to day, I take it week to week. So for me, I'm just, you know, I'll work on the things I need to work on this summer, and then right now just focus on training camp pretty much. That's, you know, from there you kind of you do your best, you put your best foot forward, you work as hard as you can, and just try to enjoy it, because it's such a unique experience to be able to be a pro athlete, and let alone playing the NHL. So it's something I just try to enjoy.
Well, I know I speak for everybody who's been paying attention. We're all just really excited to have you, and to watch you, and to watch your growth. You're a super impressive human being already at your age. So Thanks for taking the time and enjoy what you have left of your summer. And we'll see you. I'll see you in September for sure.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Well, a huge thanks to Henry. That was a lot of fun. I think the collective IQ of the Sharks has shot up. Last week, Magnus Krona. This week, Henry Thren. Remarkable, remarkable student athletes and now professional hockey players. And thank you. Thank you for listening all throughout the season. It really has been enlightening for me and just a ton of fun. And really nice just to get to know some of you out there and hockey in the Bay Area. So this is Tara Sloan signing off for the next few months. Take a break, get in some hot weather, and we'll see you when things start to freeze over again in just a couple months from now in the fall. In the meantime, keep your fins above water, and we'll see you soon.